You know, it's all warm and fuzzy in Red Sox land until, you know, GMs start getting fired and you know, the Yankees are 8.5 games above the Red Sox. How's it been there the last couple of weeks, especially in the clubhouse? Has it been okay?
Well, I'll tell you what, I wish the Yankees were only 8.5 above us. It seems like, I think it's double that. But, you know, it's Boston's probably one of the greatest cities in the world to win in my limited experience there. And it's obviously it's a tough place to lose. You know, there's a lot of expected of you there. We didn't win a championship for 100 years, and now we've won 4 in the last, you know, 15 or so. So there's a little bit of expectations. Doesn't help that the Patriots are putting up banners every year too. So I think the fans in New England have high expectations, and you know, we just had a tough year. We had some injuries, and just things didn't go our way. So, you know.
Yeah. Andy, is that the biggest thing? You know, you talk about repeating all the time and why it's so hard to do and why the Yankees in 2000 are the last team to do it. And you know, your team is set up to do that. You know, even if you had a hiccup with Chris Sale, you still were set up with experience and where the other teams are in the American League East. Is there any other thing that derailed the Red Sox in 2019?
You know, I don't really think so. I think that you know, we don't play very good at times. There were times that, you know, we just didn't. We had chances to get on runs, and we just didn't execute and get the job done. I mean, you know, obviously there were some injuries to the pitching staff. Eovaldi really hasn't, you know, pitched a lot this year, and I think we all expected a lot more out of him and Sale, and Porcello just had kind of a tough year for him, and so it's just we just, you know, offensively there's been, you know, Devers and Bogarts, and obviously JD's come on strong here lately. There's been some really, you know, great Christian Vasquez has had a great year. There's a lot of things to be proud of, a lot of things that, you know, that we hang our hats on as far as guys have gotten better. But at the end of the day, like collectively, we just didn't get the job done. And, you know, we're not out of it yet. We're going to keep playing and keep trying. But, you know, just, you know how it is, Bark. You either get it done or you don't. And we just flat out didn't.
Yeah.
So, you know, you and Kevin talked a little bit about just sort of, you know, the standings are what the standings are, and you got to continue to work. But, you know, Andy, I'm kind of interested. You got a team that has had a lot of success. What's the attitude like in the cage? You know, your guys still willing to do extra work?
We were slammed in the cage yesterday from, you know, the time that we got down there until game time, basically. Nobody has really changed their work ethic or approach to going about their business. We're still having hitters meetings. We're still preparing and game planning, just like we do, you know, in the first 140 games of the season. So we're professionals. Our players are professional. They're trying to obviously win games as a team collectively, but also as a byproduct of that, they're trying to put up numbers and so that they can provide for their families and get contracts and so forth. So, you know, every at-bat is important.
Yeah, Andy, now there's one guy on your team that sort of relates to Vladimir Guerrero Jr., and that's Rafi Devers. I want to ask you this. You're the perfect guy to ask this. Now, you could never really see a guy having these kind of numbers, but is there something when he came to spring training? I know he's worked on his body and sort of critiqued that a little bit and made that a little slimmer so he's basically can stay on the field a little bit better, made his bat a little quicker. Is there any routine or anything you saw in a batting cage in spring training that you went, wow, now this guy's going to have a monster year?
Yeah, I mean, actually, to answer your question, yes. And we actually talked about it internally, even to the point in April, mid-April, when he was struggling to start the season, we were still very confident in what he could potentially do this year. And to answer your question, as far as one thing, it wasn't one particular drill or one particular aha moment in the cage. It was just the growth of a young player. You had a kid last year when we basically got to spring training who barely spoke any English. I'm bilingual, or, you know, about 90% bilingual, so that really wasn't a challenge. But still, he wasn't all that engaging in any language. Mm-hmm. He was kind of standoffish. There was also, like, Hanley Ramirez was also there. That was kind of, you know, this veteran presence where he was trying to be Rafi was kind of being really quiet and not trying to get out of his step or his lane, so to speak. And then what we have seen now is just the evolution and growth of a young man from, you know, a boy to now a grown man who's an established player in the big league, if not one of the best third basemen in the whole league. And this is just, you know, a maturation of, you know, I think I can just show up in the big leagues and just do my thing. And that's how he originally thought, just as most of us do when we get to the big leagues as young players. Hey, I'm good. I'm just going to show my stuff. And now he's sitting in the video room with Mitch Moreland talking about game planning on what this left-hander is going to feature tonight. And he's going in the cage and working on specific drills to attack that pitcher that night. So you just have the growth of a young player into a guy who's – let's add the fact that he's super talented. He's freak strong, and he's got hand-eye coordination for as good as it comes. And so it's just the evolution and growth of a baseball player. And to see it happen has really been a tremendous experience.
We're in conversation with Andy Barquette, assistant hitting coach with the Boston Red Sox. How difficult is it these days, Andy, or how different is it to talk to young players when there's so much emphasis on launch angle and things of that nature? I mean, Kevin and I talk about this an awful lot. We were talking about Kevin Biggio and some of the adjustments the Jays want to see him make. You know, it's easy for people to say that, but when guys are getting paid for hitting bombs, you know, at some point they're going to kind of look at you. I would go, that's great, but, you know, the money comes from hitting these shots. Is that rule changing the hitting coach now because of the emphasis on home runs and launch angles?
I would think it would. I mean, it really hasn't. In the 2 years I've been here in Boston and in the batting cage every day for hours upon hours, the word launch angle might get mentioned, as it's been mentioned twice, in passing. Mm. Yeah, we don't talk about it. We don't discuss it. We don't have anything to do with it, really. We're kind of, we do drills and we know how to teach the swing correctly as far as biomechanically in the modern swing or whatever you want to call it. But at the end of the day, there's a dude 60 feet, 6 inches with you with a spear and you got a stick. And he's throwing that thing at you at 97 miles an hour plus. And if I'm thinking about my launch angle, I'm out. And so we are really preparing our hitters mentally and physically for the battle that night and not getting into the metrics and the measuring tools and this, that, and the other, because it's really hard. You know, it's become this thing where everybody thinks that you can joystick baseball players these days.
Mm, yeah.
And you can't. The game's too hard. It really is.
Yeah,
I mean, we can all try.
Yeah,
to swing at certain areas or whatever, but it's too hard.
Yeah, Andy, is Xander Bogaerts your best hitter?
Hmm.
He's got lightning hands, bro.
Yeah.
I mean, he's just a freak talent. Best hitter. I think JD Martinez is probably our best overall hitter as far as like strike zone, know the zone.
Okay, let me ask you this. If you had to have one guy at the plate with two outs and the bases loaded, would he not be the guy? Because I got to be honest, we watch you guys a lot. And every time that dude comes to the plate, it's always two strikes, taking some weird swing, punching something to right when it matters. It's an art.
It does.
Skill.
But you know what, Bart?
Yeah.
Take Devers. Bases loaded, two outs. I got my money on Betts, Devers, Bogaerts, Martinez. I mean, there's about four or five of them, bro. And they're all tied first.
Yeah, you're spoiled, aren't you?
We got some talented kids. We really do.